Your Pastor Stan Moore has been a friend and counselor to many ruling and teaching elders in this denomination, and a winsome representative in our relationships with other branches of the church. And whereas he has maintained a godly and consistent testimony among us, doing justly, loving mercy, and walking humbly before our God, and whereas our Lord Jesus Christ, King and Head of His Church, has called him to other labors within the kingdom, therefore be it resolved that the Presbyterian Church in America, meeting in its 10th General Assembly at Grand Rapids, Michigan, on this 15th day of June, 1982, does hereby express its gratitude to our Sovereign Lord for raising up His servant Dan Moore for such a time as this in the birth and life of our denomination, and be it further resolved that we express our appreciation to our beloved brother for his ministry to us and for us in all these years, and that we assure him of our love and prayers in his future ministry, that our Lord may prosper him in the work to which he has been called. Mr. Moderator, I move the adoption and that the vote be by a standing vote.
It has been moved. Any objection, questions? Those in favor of this motion of appreciation, please rise. There's a popular television commercial that goes, "How do you spell relief?" For me, it's spelled Q-U-I-T. But we've come a long way in the time that we've been together. When I think back to 1973, when we started a denomination with 40,000 and some odd, and here we are, 115,000, and most of us odd. But we've accomplished a lot in the time that we've been together, particularly in the business of running the General Assembly. 4 years ago, here at Grand Rapids, one of the secretaries, Georgie Sue Mosley, found a husband among the Christian Reformed ministers. Last year at Fort Lauderdale, Barbara Perry found a husband among the PCA ministers. Now, I really wonder how I can give up this job when I have three daughters. But I'm reminded of the fine old Presbyterian elder who was always used the scriptural quotation for everything he ever did. And he had a horse that was blind. And one day a stranger came to town who needed a horse in a real hurry and didn't take time to examine this horse, but bought it quickly and rode off. And some of his non-believing friends chided this elder and said, "Well, now, what's your scriptural quotation for what you did for that fellow?" And he said, "Well, he was a stranger, and I took him in." Well, 9 years ago, I came to you as a stranger, and you took me into your heart. You followed me all this time with your prayers. You have given financially, sacrificially, to keep the Committee on Administration working. You have given me your love and your friendship, and for this, no thanks is adequate.
Thank you. Okay.
Mr. Moderator, that concludes the report on the Committee of Commissioners on Administration, respectfully submitted by Ruling Elder John Pascal as Chairman and Teaching Elder Tom Sullivan, Secretary, and the list of the committee is on the back of the last sheet. In interest of time, we won't read it. Thank you.
should we accept it as a whole subject to the things that we've admitted, or should we just wait for it?
What? Oh. Oh. Number 10?
Mr. Moderator, I had a further amendment that I wanted to introduce in the report as a whole. I would not even ask the indulgence of the court at this point, lest that mean my motion fail automatically. But I wonder if the report could be kept open, unless the court wants to hear it now.
I think it would be better if they keep the court report open. There are two or three things that we have delayed, and we could take them up and anything additional
Thank
at a later
sir.
Time. There is one thing. Our time is gone. We'll have to extend it again, I'm afraid. The bell will ring in a moment. But there is one thing that is important that we ought to do, and that's on page 55, where we have a partial report of the Committee of Commissioners on Judicial Business, number 5. And the point is, these men ought to get started in work. So if we get started now, they can work the rest of the night.
Dr. Thompson, as he's coming forward, we have a bag that has been delivered from the airport for Bill Iverson.
This is on page 55, recommendation number 5, the complaint of the First Presbyterian Church Stanley, North Carolina. Dr. Thompson.
Gentlemen, if you'll turn to the two pages that were distributed to you just prior to the recess this evening, 48, 49, 50, 50A, and I have a 50B and 50C. This regards the complaint from the session of the First Presbyterian Church, Stanley, North Carolina, against the Presbytery of Central Carolina. The partial report of the Committee of Commissioners on Judicial Business appears on page 55. The recommendation is that the complaint of the session of the First Church, Stanley, North Carolina, against Central Carolina Presbytery be found in order, and that a judicial commission be appointed to adjudicate the case of this General Assembly. We nominate the following as members of this commission: Joe Easterling, Joe Sullivan, convener, Wayne Curl, Burl Hubbard, Tom Ramsey, Peter Stazen, that's no N in that. Doug Shepler is not present, I was informed subsequently. And so under our committee rules of operation, the name of teaching elder Don Post would be the principal. Then Jim Midbury. Under ruling elders, Gene Park, Burton Holmes, Ken Comer, E.L. Caston, Richard Post, C.M. Birchfield, and Maurice McPhee. I move the adoption of the amended recommendation 5. You've heard the motion. You have these names before you. And the motion for the adoption of recommendation number 5. There is the debate number 10. Mike 10.
Mr. Moderator, Mickey Bolas from Central Georgia Presbytery. May I ask a point of clarification? Maybe the city clerk perhaps could help us. The date of this letter is June 2nd. I'm wondering through you, sir, if we could get a clarification as to how that may or may not affect the standing rules in our handbook on page 7, paragraph 5-6.
Yeah. Give us an answer, Mr. Clerk.
Mr. Moderator, this is not an overture. This is a complaint. And therefore, if it gets to the assembly in time for the assembly to hear it, a complaint can be received up to the last minute. Not an overture. An overture would have had to have been received at least 60 days ahead. But as a complaint, it is acceptable even right to the last minute.
And the matter is in order. You ready to vote on this complaint? The main thing is for these men to get appointed and get to work. The microphone, which... Microphone 11, yes, number 11.
Mr. Moderator, Ross Graham, Central Carolina Presbytery, one of the newest members in that presbytery. I address through you, sir, to this assembly a concern because of some of the inaccuracies that appear to be within the complaint. sir, it is my belief that our clerk has within his possession record that the meeting, which is disputed here in the last paragraph before the signatures, did not, in fact, occur. I would therefore ask you, sir, whether this complaint is in order.
This is a question that is raised. Dr. Johnson, want to speak?
He's trying to say
it's
in order.
That's right. Yeah, but the judicial commission is asking us to find it in order, and he objects to that. It's difficult for us as a whole to determine whether or not a complaint is in order or not, I would suppose.
If I may speak to that,
Dr. Thompson,
the information we acted on is exactly that which is in front of you. We had no additional information. To the best of our ability to determine regarding dates of when the complaint was submitted and the required action cited in the letter, the best of our knowledge, it was in order. We did not go into the merits of the case. We simply decided, one, that it was not trivial, and secondly, that it was in order to the best of our knowledge.
Saying that it is in order does not imply that it is true. Is that the point?
Yes, sir.
If I may appeal then to you, sir, through you to the stated clerk of the Central Carolina Presbytery to give you the information which is pertinent to this case.
Mr. Moderator,
yes.
I was informed by the person signing this letter that the Presbytery had met and not decided not to deal with the matter. Now, I do not know that I have any further information.
The called meeting, sir, was found to be not in order, and therefore there was no action taken. The meeting was recalled for a later date.
Yeah. This is the question in my mind, whether or not we're competent to go into the merits of the case, and this appears to be close to that. This is the action that is envisaged, as I understand it. Now, I am new at this myself. But the action, as I understand it, is simply to find that the complaint is in due form and should be considered, and the merits of the case should be taken care of by the committee to which we refer it, not by us. So we're not passing it on with a prejudicial way by the phrase that it is found in order. It is simply found in order of formally. Am I correct in that?
Yes, sir.
Sir, I shall not press longer than to say that I identify myself as a brand new member of this presbytery, yeah. Therefore in no way prejudicial, yeah, in the deliberation. My only concern is that as this new presbytery begins its work, that we not abrogate proper Presbyterian procedures. You will note that the complaint comes from a session directly to the General Assembly. There are some serious inadequacies in the complaint itself, and so I simply bow to the wishes of the Assembly at this point to rule on the matter.
I think that we would rule that we may find it in order, but that these matters that are on your heart and that you have mentioned before us should be considered by the committee that goes into the merits of the case. Is this, with this understanding and with this ruling, shall we proceed as we have done in the others, and act on the recommendation that it be found in order, that is to say, regular, and be referred to this judicial commission. Further debate? Those in favor of finding it in order in this way and referring it, please say aye.
Aye.
Contrary, so the same? So ordered. The ayes have it.
Mr. Moderator, this concludes this partial report. I would avail myself of this opportunity to ask the Committee of Commissioners on Judicial Business to convene at 8:30 tomorrow in order to approve our final report.
Thank you. Is there anything else that needs to come before the Committee tonight? Our time has gone past. One other item of new business. This is the deadline for new business, so we must hear this request. Mic number 4.
James Sowell, Mississippi Valley Presbytery. I would like to enter a personal resolution, please.
You may speak.
Whereas that it appears that the Equal Rights Amendment in its present form shall not be incorporated into the Constitution of the United States by the Congress, pending its failure to gain the support of the sufficient majority of states by God's grace, and whereas the Church of Jesus Christ is being proclaimed publicly by the advocates of this amendment as the avowed enemy of equal rights for women under law, but whereas that said amendment as presently worded opens the door to constitutional legalization of abortion on demand, for the legalization of nationwide homosexual marriage, for the drafting of young women into the military services, and even to such immoral possibilities as non-discrimination in the use of restroom accommodations, being so open-endedly worded as to make absolutely no moral or biological distinctions whatsoever, most of all which possibilities militate the teachings of the Word of God. And whereas the Word of God clearly exalts the woman to a distinctive level of equality, therefore be it resolved by this assembly that while our denomination firmly denounces ERA in its present form, we vigorously support the constitutional equalization of the rights of women in every area of life in which the exercise of these rights conforms to the teachings of the Bible.
This is presented before us, and is there a second to it? It moved and seconded. The normal thing then would be to refer it to the Bills and Overtures Committee for the study and later report. Any objection to such referral? If not, it will be done. Number six has one also.
Mr. Moderator, Joe Sullivan, Westminster Presbyterian, convener of the commission just appointed. I would ask all those who have been appointed to that commission, number five, at the close of our recess tonight to meet in front of the moderator's desk, please.
Thank you. Other announcement? Yes, number two.
Joe Gardner, Louisiana Presbyterian. I beg your indulgence once again to call a meeting of the nominating committee, and I'd like to meet with them right now, midway on the balcony, the nominating committee of this seminar.
Other such announcements from the floor? Number eight.
John Darling, Gulf Coast. May I please have a meeting of the Committee of Commissioners of Insurance, Annuities, and Relief in the Calvin Studies Room at 8:45 tomorrow morning. 8:45 tomorrow morning. In the Calvin Studies Room.
Thank you. We should make some announcements, and one announcement we should make is the presence of Mr. Charles W. Colson, whom we all know, the Prison Fellowship Ministry, will speak on the Ministry of Mercy. Now, that was announced in these yellow slips at the Calvin College Dining Hall, which I believe be far too small. It has been changed, and the meeting will be held here at 7:15, at 7:15 tomorrow morning in this room, I believe.
Can we ask are they to have breakfast at 6:30 and come here without having even eaten?
I believe breakfast will be available earlier tomorrow.
Not here.
At the Commons. And I believe it is starting at at 6:15 at least. Does someone know on that? 6:15 is the figure. Breakfast will begin at 6:15 tomorrow instead of the usual. And 7:15 will be the meeting in this room. 7 a.m. is wrong. 7:15. So the time for Colson is changed from these little slips. 7:15 in this room. And that way, including visitors and all, can hear Mr. Colson when he's in our presence. Thank you. Other announcements?
Ms. Moderator, the Theological Examining Committee is to meet at the end of this session at the podium. At right with Bill Stevenson. The members of that Theological Examining Committee are Ronald Harding, Norman Evans, Robert Vincent, Robert Vannoy, William Stevenson, Millard Tate, James Pacer, and Doug Haskew. The men on Judicial Commission, Alan Story, William Stevenson, William Montgomery, Charles Coe, and Carl Smith. are needed if they're not already there in room P300, third floor, for meeting of Judicial Commission. And then, Mr. Moderator, let me announce once again that the dynamic duo who were almost elected moderators will be having their meeting at Gazan Auditorium 15 minutes after we adjourn. That's Jones and Damron program. And everyone is invited who can get in.
Are there other announcements? Is Reverend Frank Pyle in the audience? Reverend Frank Pyle? I guess I don't see him. Shall we rise? I'll ask Dr. Vasholtz, Robert Vasholtz, Covenant Seminary, if he will come to the microphone and lead us in closing prayer.
Our Lord, again, we thank Thee for deliberations today, the decisions that have been made. We pray Thy blessing upon us and upon them. We ask as I go away, we may find again our refreshment in Thee, that tomorrow as we gather and convene, that we might have the leadership of Thy Holy Spirit and of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
The meeting stands adjourned until tomorrow at 8:45 with joint worship at 8 o'clock.
David Hammond, I have a message for David Hammond.
It is time for us to begin our meeting this morning. Shall we begin with the use of hymn number 212? Hymn number 212, a hymn of glory, let us sing.
standing for prayer. And I've asked Reverend Robert Bob Whiteside to lead us in prayer, for a missionary to Colombia. And a request has been made that we remember at this time some of our brethren, especially one that mentioned in Sioux Presbytery, where the presbytery and the where the cases of their property are in the court, that we might pray for a resolution of those problems and to the glory of God, not just there, but in other places that we can't mention. Whiteside.
Our Heavenly Father, we come to you as Sovereign Lord this morning, grateful for your work in our lives individually and corporately. And we do bring before you our brethren who are wrestling on the matter of the legalities of this world, the matter of property. And Lord, our hearts just break as we see the division that it causes and this heartbreak of brothers who are divided and who are not together. We pray that you would rebuke Satan. We ask that you would come and move in our midst in this nation, and that you would bring forth from these battles a strengthened people and a people who will come to love you and each other more and more rather than be divided. And Lord, we pray that you would also give by your grace the wisdom to those who need to confront and to those who need to reconcile. And we know that we don't have that wisdom, but we know that you can give it to us. And Lord, I would pray a blessing on your time with us as you move in our midst, and that you would guide and direct us as we make decisions here on this floor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Today, Wednesday morning, we begin with the minutes of the, with special order, the Mission to the World program. Just before that, I believe, there are several announcements to be made, so we hear the clerk.
Mr. Moderator, Mr. Jack Mayfield, please call Ken Wolf, and I have a number here for you to call. South Jersey Presbytery will meet at 12 noon today in the Science Building Room 101. I've been asked to announce that the tapes of Chuck Colson's message cannot be made available at this meeting. Information about its availability will be through the National Presbyterian and Reformed Fellowship, Box 44, Valley Forge, PA. Committee of Commissioners of Insurance and Annuities meet at 8:45 a.m. this morning to approve the final draft of the report to General Assembly. The meeting is in the auditorium of the Calvin Student Center Library, main floor, where we met before. Committee on Commissioners on Bills and Overtures will meet at 9 a.m. today in Library Room 129. Committee of Commissioners on Bills and Overtures, Library Room 129. Commissioners serving on the judicial case number 6 to handle the complaint of the session of the First Presbyterian Church, Stanley, North Carolina, please report to room P30 at 9.
Is that correct, P30?
Okay. Judicial Commission case, Commissioners on judicial case number 6. P30 at 9. Commission to adjudicate case number 5, Peace versus Eastern Carolina, will be excused to meet in room 122 of the library building, 1:30 p.m. And then again, all chaplains active and reserve will meet together at lunchtime in the Commons.
And then I have also papers for the commission dealing with uh, This is a commission dealing with Eastern Carolina case, I believe, and papers dealing with the Central Georgia case. So if members of either of those commissions would come forward, we can give you those papers.
One other special announcement, if you will, Mr. Moderator. Mr. Robert Offerth has turned up with a missing briefcase. That is, his is lost. And he's wondering if anyone has picked it up by mistake. It's an American Escort, and he really would appreciate it. He has all of his brains in that briefcase. Thank you.
Right now.
Bills and overtures, 129. Room, library, 129. At 9 o'clock.
Are these all the announcements? I believe now we may go ahead. And our first item of business this morning is the reading of the minutes of the Tuesday session.
The assembly reconvened at 8:50 a.m. with the singing of Zion Stands by Hill Surrounded and prayer by the moderator. The Assembly Committee on Nominations was excused to meet. The minutes of the first session were read and approved as corrected. Teaching Elder Paul D. Koistra introduced the program presentation of the Committee for Christian Education and Publication. The program included a dramatic hyperbole by Donald DeHart, a film entitled Commission and Commitment, and remarks regarding Great Commission publications by Teaching Elder David H. Bryson. Moderator Harris appointed the following to the Committee on Thanks: Teaching Elder Frank Smith, Jr., Convener, Harold Borchert, H. Timothy Fortner, and Ruling Elder Stuart Patterson. City Clerk Smith and Assistant Parliamentarian Williamson addressed the commissioners briefly, giving information on assembly rules and operations. The following personal resolution was introduced by Teaching Elder Richard A. Fraser and referred to the Permanent Subcommittee on Judicial Business. Teaching Elder Frederick J. Thompson, Chairman of the Committee of Commissioners on Judicial Business, led the assembly in prayer and presented a partial report of the committee. Recommendation number 1 was adopted as presented. Teaching Elder Vaughn E. Hathaway, Jr., Chairman of the Permanent Subcommittee on Judicial Business, led in prayer and presented a partial report. On motion, the advice of the subcommittee in regard to MTW cooperative agreements was accepted. Teaching Elder David H. Justly, Chairman of the Committee of Commissioners on Interchurch Relations, led in prayer and presented the committee's report. Recommendations 1, 2, 4, 7, 9, 10, and 11 were adopted. Recommendations 5 and 6 were adopted with amendments. Action on Recommendation 8 was deferred until consideration of all the budgets. Recommendation 12 was divided, and the first part on approving the reception of the Korean American Presbyterian Church into NAPARC was adopted. The order of the day of lunch was called, and the assembly recessed with prayer by Ruling Elder John Spencer at 12:10 p.m. Included in the prayer was a request by Teaching Elders Carl R. Bradley, Jr., David R. Brancy, and Ruling Elder Robert Taylor for prayer for Teaching Elder Paul A. Dupke, Chatsworth, California, CCA pastor and father of four young children who has been stricken with lymphoma and leukemia. Teaching Elder David H. Linden led the assembly in prayer as it reconvened at 1:30 p.m. The assembly returned to its consideration of the report of the Committee of Commissioners on Interchurch Relations. Recommendations 13, 14A, 14B, 15, and 16 were adopted. Recommendations 14, C, and D were deleted. And Recommendation 12B was defeated with respect to the Associate Reformed Presbyterian Church. Moderator Ik Kwan Lee and General Secretary Samuel Chang of the Korean American Presbyterian Church were on motion, recognized as fraternal delegates from that church. Personal resolutions number 4 and 5 were received from Teaching Elder Henry L. Smith and Teaching Elder Nelson K. Malkus and were referred to the Committee of Commissioners on Bills and Overtures and Mission to the World, respectively. The Board of Trustees for the Insurance, Annuity, and Relief Funds were granted a special order of the day to show a film on the work of the Board. The Committee of Commissioners on Christian Education and Publication presented its report to the Chairman, Teaching Elder Morris B. Updegraff, who led the Assembly in prayer. Recommendations 1, 2, 4, 5, 8 to 16, 18, and 20 were adopted. Recommendations 6 and 7 were adopted with the words, through its own Committee of Commissioners, added to each. Recommendation 17 was adopted with the addition of the reference to the Horn Creek Youth Leadership Conference and the call for the development of our own camp and camp and conference ministry. Recommendation 19 was defeated. The report as a whole was then received pending action on Recommendation 3 when all the budgets are presented. Chairman Frederick J. Thompson led the assembly in prayer and continued the report of the Committee Commissioners on Judicial Business. Recommendations 2, 3, and 4 were adopted, with the names added as noted by nomination and election from the floor. The report of the Committee of Commissioners on Administration was presented by its chairman, Ruling Elder John Pascalis, who began with prayer. Recommendations 1, 4 to 6, 8, 10, and 13 to 17 were adopted. Recommendation 3 of the Permanent Committee on Administration was substituted for Recommendation 3 and adopted. Recommendation 7 was delayed until presentation of all the budgets. Recommendation 9 was postponed until the report of the Committee of Commissioners on Review and Control. The Recommendation 12 was postponed until the report of the Committee of Commissioners on Mission of the World. Recommendation 11 was declared obviated by previous action under the report of the Committee of Commissioners on Interchurch Relations. The report was arrested at this point due to the arrival of the hour for recess. Moderator Harris announced appointment of the following conveners for a new presbytery: Eastern Canada, Teaching Elder Tom Aiken; Great Lakes, Teaching Elder William A. Shell; Ileana, Teaching Elder Thomas Walbecker; New England, Teaching Elder William S. Henderson; New Jersey, Teaching Elder James A. Smith; Oklahoma, Teaching Elder Paul DeLong; Pacific Northwest, Teaching Elder Robert A. Bonner. Teaching Elder G. Aiken Taylor was given a moment of personal privilege, during which he asked the brethren to give thought to reconsideration of their previous action regarding the Associate Reformed Presbyterian Church application to NAPARC in view of certain developments coming out of their current General Synod. The assembly recessed at 5:10 p.m. and was led in prayer by Teaching Elder Billy G. Combs. The assembly reconvened at 7:30 p.m. with prayer by Teaching Elder Nelson K. Malkus. Teaching Elder Henry J. Muller presented a resolution of thanks from the Westminster Presbyterian Church, Gulf Coast Presbytery, which was received and ordered spread upon the minutes. The assembly returned to the report of the Committee Commissioners on Administration. Recommendations 18, 20, and 22 to 29 were adopted. Recommendation 19 was referred to the Permanent Committee on Administration for report back to the 11th General Assembly. Recommendation 21 was replaced by a substitute, which was then adopted. Recommendation 2 was adopted with changes of Tidewater, Virginia, for Norfolk, and the addition of "unless a cheaper site can be found." Teaching Elder Gordon K. Reed presented a resolution of appreciation for retiring business administrator Dan M. Moore, which was received by standing vote and ordered spread upon the minutes. A partial report of the Committee Commissioners on Judicial Business was presented by Chairman John Thompson. Recommendation 5 was adopted. Following personal resolution was presented by John Sowell and was referred to the Committee Commissioners on Bills and Overtures. The assembly was recessed at 9:40 p.m. with prayer by Dr. Robert Voschel.
You heard this reading of the minutes. You heard this reading of the minutes. Are there questions or corrections that should be made? Mike 5. Thank you.
One small thing, Mr. Moderator. Under the list of conveners, Mr. Albert Mogino, Jr. should be for the St. Louis Presbytery. I don't think his name is read.
Put his name on the list. It maybe it wasn't on that list because I'd already personally appointed him, and it had not gotten out publicly. That's good. Anything else that we should note? If not, the minutes stand approved as read in this minor correction.
Mr. Moderator, just a couple of more announcements before we get into the MPW program. Committee of Thanks: Frank Smick, Howard Borchard, Tim Fortner, Stuart Patterson will meet in the corridor at the right front of the field house at 9:30 a.m. And then I've also been notified that last night they did some cleaning up in the auditorium. A number of attaché cases and of the handbooks were picked up and brought up here on the front. If you are missing yours, please come up and claim it if it's here. And we will have to remove them from this front table very, very shortly. If you have the wrong book, would you bring it up so that you get it exchanged with the right people?
Now, I believe we are prepared to move to the special order of the day, the program, The Missions of the World, the report and presentation. And I'll ask Reverend Donald McNair to come and take the chair during that report and part of the morning. Mr. McNair.
Mr. McNair has for long handled our mission to the United States, so it's very appropriate for him, I think, to supervise the mission to the world now.
Judicial Commission, case number one, will meet now in room P30 to my right in the rear. Judicial Commission, case number one.
Before Paul McCoyne comes to share with you a little bit about the vision of Mission to the World, I want to introduce to you missionaries and staff of Mission to the World that are here. These missionaries and staff represent those who have been former PCA and former RPCES missionaries, now all under the banner of Mission to the World. So I will introduce them to you. If you will withhold your applause until I have finished, and I will ask each one of you to raise your hand as I call your name. J. Kyle, Lois and John Kyle, George Bragdon, Nelson Malkus, Bill Goodman, Al Hatch, Tracy Dagger, is Joy with you? Tracy, Sanders Campbell, Randy and Joni Neighbors, Bob Whiteside, Ann Kelly, Alan and Shirley McLean, Barbara Johnson, and David and Marilyn Hamilton, and Homer Emerson, and Glenn and Helen Fierno, and Frank and Esther File, and Stan Arms, Jim Roten, and Sam Larson, and Bruce and Judy File, and Werner Meetling, Charles Castellaire, and Mark Wilson, Don Cavanis, Carl Wilhelm, and the old Indian himself, Jimmy Lyon. Let's give them a hand. Thank you. The coordinator of Mission to the World, Paul McCoyne.
I think Kenny DeSmart is the only man I know that could have remembered all those names. For many, the golden era of Presbyterian missions climaxed in the early 1950s. And truly, that was an age in which Presbyterian missions represented the major force, or a major force, in world evangelization. There were about 2,000, approximately 2,000 missionaries serving under the two major agencies that were in existence at that time. There were about 1,200 under the United Presbyterian Church and about 600 under the Southern Presbyterian Church. And even at that date, one could question with those numbers the theological presuppositions that guided some of the missionary work that was being carried out. And yet, even with that fact, these two institutions represented some of the better mission work that was going on in the world at that time. and we can be justly proud of Presbyterianism's contribution to world evangelization. During the intervening 30 years, many things have taken place. We have seen those two major groups decline, both in their commitment to Orthodox theology and their commitment to world evangelization, manifest in the sending out of foreign missionaries. We've seen the beginning of a new missionary movement with the birth of World Presbyterian Mission and the RPCES and the OPC, those who are our forerunners here in the PCA. During the last 10 years, we've seen the accelerated atrophy of the major mission boards, such as CCUS and the UPC. Till today, the two of them comprise no more than about 600 foreign missionaries, about 300 in each agency. We've seen even less of an emphasis on the proclamation of the gospel. But during that same period of time, a quiet revolution began, and the PCA was born, and raised high the standard of foreign missionary involvement. Not many paid much attention as we joined the ranks of the RPCES and the OPC and the CRC in foreign missions. It almost went unnoticed. And even as late as 5 years ago, when the denomination committed itself to a goal of 250 missionaries by the end of 1982, few felt that it could even become a reality. But from this perspective, even without our brothers joining us by the end of this year, our PCA mission force will be approximately 250. As I was beginning to consider our presentation today, we called around to the major Presbyterian agencies and realized for the first time that evangelical Christianity and evangelical Presbyterianism was represented by the largest mission force of any agency. Our new PCA represents more missionaries overseas of a Presbyterian persuasion than any mission board in existence in the world today. And for this we can praise God. We can hold our heads high, not because of our numbers overseas, but we can hold our heads high and give thanks to God because each and every one of these people are committed to our Westminster standards and are committed to an evangelical commitment to the inerrant Word of God. And they're committed to the growth of the visible body of Christ. And they're committed to making the gospel relevant through servanthood and visible through the utilization of all of the gifts that God has put at our disposal. Well, now that we are, what do we look like collectively? I just put one little overhead on the screen to tell you where we are in the days of today, and I hope that it'll be helpful. If I can ever get organized. As we came into being this year, these were the forces and the places in which the PCA was occupied in church planting. Mexico, Ecuador, Venezuela, Portugal, France, Korea, and Taiwan. But today we see that we look something like this. We see the preponderance of our geographic strength is still in Latin America, with the addition of Peru and Chile. However, we see that God has opened to us new vistas and perspectives of ministry in Africa with the WPM work in Kenya, and in the Middle East with Jordan, and in India for the first time, where over 700 million unreached peoples are there as a target for the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Japan, where God is beginning to do a new and wonderful thing in bringing about a responsiveness unparalleled in the history of Christian missions in our day, and in Australia, representing the presence of the new PCA on all of the major continents of our globe. We're thankful to God for what He's done in causing us to have this geographical spread. Vocationally, we see an increased commitment in the new PCA mission program to theological education, with the addition of theological institutions in Kenya and in Chile and in India. These joining a strong base of PCA missionaries that are working in theological institutions, both of an interdenominational and a denominational nature. With the joining and receiving, we see an increased commitment to deed ministries represented by the hospital in Jordan and the clinic in Kenya, represented by the work in India with the orphan children. These works are, many of them, tailored to presenting the gospel to resistant religions and cultures, and represent the first confrontation that people have with the gospel of Jesus Christ through compassion and caring. One of the things that we see vocationally is unparalleled, I think, in mission development. We see the PCA occupying tremendous leadership positions. And let me just list a few of the positions that are occupied by your PCA missionaries. We're, through John Kyle, directing the largest mission conference in the world, as represented by the Urbana Missions Conference. We see missionaries involved in orchestrating and aiding in mission church relations throughout Latin America. We see Mission to the World missionaries aiding in the accreditation and the bringing together of Bible institutes and seminaries throughout the Third World. PCA representatives occupy positions of leadership on the boards of the largest missionary agencies coordinating missionary activity around the world. They're also present on the Accreditation Council for the Standards Committee of the organization that guarantees fiscal responsibility. In many of the fields that you saw on the slide today, WPM and PCA missionaries occupy positions of leadership not only within the Reformed community, but within the community of evangelicals in those parts of the world. This leads me to believe that one of the things that God has entrusted to us as a young denomination is leadership, and we should occupy and be good stewards of those positions and those men of resource that God has given to us. Domestically, we look a little bit different too. I was going through some of the statistics and saw a very interesting statistic here. As we looked at the RPCES, we saw that it took about 162 RPCES members to support one missionary. In the PCA, it's about 320. Per capita giving in the RPCES was about $69, and in the PCA, only about $39. Someone has mentioned to me with our new missionary force that we have about one missionary overseas for every two pastors here in the state. That's a marvelous statistic. The example of our brethren that are joining us in their commitment to the denominational program of their denomination should spur those of us in the PCA unitedly to do more to support the program of our own General Assembly. Strategically, Mission to the World and your organization remains committed to reaching the large and influential urban centers of our world. This is where the cutting edge of missions must be. This is the high ground that the church must occupy if we remain relevant in the ages to come. And we're committed and continue to commit ourselves to this. With the addition of the RPCES, we received the opportunity to move into cities like Lima and Santiago and Tokyo and Nairobi. Through our cooperative agreements, we continue to have the tremendous opportunity to exercise leadership and to minister to the church as a whole, to involve ourselves in many activities which individual denominations and churches could not carry on by themselves, but collectively can testify to the unity of the body of Christ and to the orthodoxy of their faith. One additional thing that I've become aware of over the years as I've traveled, time and time again, and especially I've noticed that a number of WPM missionaries have said to me in this last year, I'm on the mission field as a result of a short-term assignment that I had with WPM. We in Mission of the World have found that there are many missionaries in career service today as a result of short-term assignments. And we're enthusiastic about our SEMA program. And in our SEMA program, we see that we can accomplish a number of things. We are coming to the General Assembly this year asking that the SEMA program become part and parcel of the fabric of Mission to the World. The General Assembly, seeing the potential of short terms and what God was doing through them 2 years ago, mandated us to work experimentally 2 years with this program. We've done so, and we're really excited about what's happening. We see SEMA as a means of recruiting church planters. Some of our SEMA people are positioned with church planters. We're excited as we've entered into contact with various theological institutions about constructing a theological program over a 10-year period that would guarantee and grant a theological degree with two terms of service on the field. First as a short term and then a career service, leading to people who will be amply committed to foreign missions and amply prepared. We've come to the basic conclusion that the way we're going to get the church planters we want and need is to grow them on our own field. We're excited about SEMA because of stewardship. It costs about one-third less to send a short-term missionary overseas than it does a career missionary. And these people are living on a sacrificial basis. In essence, they're subsidizing their own missionary efforts. We have a tendency to think of short-term missions as a missionary commitment of somewhat less value. A missionary commitment that is not real commitment that is needed for missions. In fact, this is not the case. These young people are so committed, and older people are so committed to foreign missions, that they've been willing to subsidize their own missionary activity. And we're delighted with them. It's interesting to note that about 94% of the support for a SEMA volunteer comes from his own home church and friends and relatives who are supporting him in that ministry. We have seen in the last years a real groundswell in student and professional involvement in missions. By and large, it's bypassed the traditional missionary societies. In 1979, there were over 18,000 young people and older people, professionals out, serving on short-term assignments. Today, it's about equally divided between career missionaries and short-term missionaries. We are grateful to the PCA's General Assembly for allowing us to experiment and we trust to incorporate into our career program the SEMA ministry. Our united PCA must resist all temptation to pat ourselves on the back. We must bow in humility before a sovereign God, thanking him for his blessing upon us. We must renew our commitment, a commitment that came from our very formation, to dedicate ourselves to world evangelization at home and abroad. We must learn from our past that golden years of past accomplishment cannot guarantee God's present blessing. A weakening commitment to the Great Commission and its worldwide implications leads to self-absorption and atrophy. And theological relativism leads to a lot of good work without the dynamic of God's saving grace. And this is less than a worthy offering to a sovereign God to whom we all love and serve. Thank you very much.
And also to be an informative piece for our new churches coming to join us, working in cooperation with the four permanent committees, ask the Committee on Christian Education and Publications to prepare a special edition of The Messenger and to commemorate this momentous occasion. So I've asked Charles Donahue at this time to give us some further words on this matter.
Mr. Moderator, members of the General Assembly, certainly this is a historic occasion, and we want to take every opportunity to preserve it for our posterity. We have a great legacy, and we look forward to the great things that God has in store for us in the days to come. So we have prepared, with the help and cooperation of many people, a special edition of the PCA Messenger to welcome the RPCES brothers and churches into our fellowship and into our assembly. Before I present this officially to the moderator, I would like to publicly acknowledge two people for whom we should be grateful in helping us meet this schedule and being able to present it to you at this time. First of all, a member of our staff and editor of the PCA Messenger, Mr. Arthur Matthews. Arthur, would you stand, please? And a man with whom we couldn't operate, Mr. Steve Fox. Are you here, Steve? Steve is our printer. He happens to be a ruling elder in our church, in Trinity Church, Montgomery. Where is Steve? His press worked over the weekend, excluding the Sabbath, the first day of the week, to get this here to us. Couldn't go to press until Saturday afternoon because we tonight didn't know how the boat would go. So we worked with great anticipation and prayer. And Steve, we thank you. Presently, we have mailed in bulk to all the churches. As a matter of fact, those packages are in route right now. To all the RPCES churches, now PCA churches, bulk quantity of the special PCA Messenger. We have chosen to say to you on the front of the Messenger, in this special edition introducing the Presbyterian Church in America to your members, where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people,
and your God, my God. It gives me great pleasure at this time then to present this first copy of The Messenger to the moderator, Dr. Harris. We only have enough for one copy per commissioner, but there will be other copies for our new churches as you return to your homes. Thank you.
I've just finished 2 weeks teaching, and one of the books concerned in the five megaloths that I was teaching is the book of Ruth. The wonderful commitment for us to go together. Thank you. I am not resuming the chair. Mr. McNair is still in.
I believe we have a report now from the Committee of Commissioners to the Mission to the World.
The report is being handed out.
Move that we waive the reading of the entire report before we begin. Is there a second? Any discussion? So ordered. You're receiving the report. I might say that I speak for the Committee of Commissioners on Mission to the World. And we had an enjoyable and a profitable time in our meeting. We want to communicate the business that we discussed to you. Let us pray and ask God's bless as we consider these things together. Let us pray together. Our God and Father, we're before you this hour because of your appointment. And for this grace and this mercy, we praise you. We thank you, Father, that we have been asked to stretch and reach in our vision and in our viewpoint of our purpose for being here on this earth by the report that has just preceded. Now, Father, following your great commission, we would ask that the business at hand might be just that, business, the machinery of the affairs of implementing your great commission. And Father, we offer to you in advance these items of business and ask that you might touch them with your Holy Spirit, that through these actions we may be alive in action, touching lives, building churches, that we may see these as the means of reaching out from our families and churches to the uttermost parts of this world, this shrinking, ever-needy world. Oh, Father, therefore, in this spirit and attitude, help us to pay attention to the means at hand to accomplish your task. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You see in the report that Roman numeral 1 is the business referred to the committee. Roman numeral 2 is the major issues discussed. I was going to take a minute to define cooperative agreements, but the slide presentation did it so aptly that I want to ask you to recall that cooperative agreements with other evangelical agencies, which we discussed in our Committee of Commissioners, is the means assigned by the General Assembly and approved as a means of our board working in cooperation with other evangelical agencies. The agreement includes a doctrinal statement, and we did review the doctrinal statements that were before us. They are in the minutes that are to be approved
that we recommend for approval, and we discussed all of the new ones in some detail. Those cooperative agreements are listed there. With that brief introduction, I'll proceed to the recommendations. Number one, we recommend and move that the minutes of the Committee on Mission to the World for September 20th, 1981, November 20-21, 1981, February 18-20, 1982, May 13-15, 1982 be approved. You've heard the motion. Apparently, if you haven't, these yellow, please raise your hand so that you can be located. Well, there's one section that's quite barren, and then we'll be back there with copies. There are enough of them, Dr. Buzzell. I think we should wait until they have been serviced.
Matter of Dale B. Galveston has his handbook missing. Somebody has picked it up by mistake. Would you please return it to him close to microphone 9? He would appreciate it. Dale Galveston, handbook missing. Return it to him, please, if anybody has it. There is confusion as to where some of the judicial commissions are meeting. Apparently, case number 1 is meeting in P30. Does anyone know where case number 6 is meeting? We would appreciate getting that clarified. Central Georgia Presbytery has a called meeting immediately upon recess for lunch at 12 noon, room P30. To the left rear of the assembly, under the stand.
Okay.
Any more men that have not received? Dr. Buzzell? The motion is before us. It concerns minutes. Any questions? Seeing none, it's ordered. Number 6. Yes. Number 6, mic number 6, please. Just a moment.
Okay. It's on.
George, it's on.
Willow Grove, Philadelphia Presbytery. Just for the benefit of those of us who are somewhat ignorant on this matter, what does it mean for us to approve these minutes? I guess I just don't understand that.
Mr. Williamson? You probably have a good... I didn't see him.
It just means that the committee reviews the minutes and finds it to see if the agency, the committee, has followed the instructions of the assembly, or if they found where the committee had exceeded any authority, they would call it to the assembly's attention and to see that the... because these committees are servants of the assembly, and the minutes are reviewed to see if they are in order and if the instructions and injunctions of the assembly have been followed by the committee.
I see. Then you're not really saying that the minutes accurately record what happened. You're not saying that they are an accurate recording of history, but you're saying that you approve of what they have done. Is that right?
The minutes, they are the minutes of the committee meeting. They're not historical documents. They're the actions taken by the committee in accordance with the authority given to that committee by the General Assembly.
Thank you.
Dr. Buzzell?
Yes. Number 2, we move that the General Assembly express its gratitude to God for each missionary and candidate and ask his continued provision for their spiritual and physical and emotional needs.
You've heard it? There's a great deal of import in this recommendation. Any comment, question? By declaring it adopted, we're declaring ourselves involved. Adopted. Ms. Dr. Buzzell.
Number three, that the General Assembly express its appreciation to the presbytery, churches, and individuals who give prayerful and financial support to the missionary family and the work of mission to the world.
You've heard it. Any discussion? Adopted.
Number four, we move that the General Assembly commend the work of Paul McCoy and that he be reelected to the office of coordinator.
You've heard it. Any discussion? Adopted.
Number five, that the General Assembly commend the work of Kennedy Smart and that he be reelected to the office of coordinator of church relations.
You've heard it. Any discussion? Adopted.
That the General Assembly express its appreciation to missionary evangelist Jimmy Lyons, to SEMA coordinator Jason Kyle, to administrative director Carl Wilhelm, and to the entire Mission to the World staff for their exemplary service to our Lord on behalf of our denomination and its missionaries.
You've heard it. Any discussion? Adopted.
Number seven, we move that the General Assembly call our denomination to prayer, to the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into his harvest, and that the day of May 15th, 1983, be observed as a day of prayer for world evangelization.
You've heard it. This is another commitment on our part if it's approved. Any discussion? Question's been asked orally if that's a Sunday.
Where's Kennedy? Kennedy Smart. Is May 15th a Sunday?
Yes. It is.
We've been told it is. Any questions? Adopted.
Number eight. We move that the General Assembly urge the churches to set aside a portion of their giving for the suffering peoples of the world, and that to this end, it be recommended that a special offering for world relief be taken on Easter Sunday of 1983.
You've heard it. Any discussion? Microphone 8.
Max Harris, New River Presbytery. Just for information, are you suggesting any particular source that we give that relief money to, or would that be up to the individual church to select an appropriate agency?
Dr.
Do you have...
Dr. Butler?
I think that I'll call on Paul McCoy or Kennedy Smart to answer that more specifically. To what is the special offering for world relief to be given?
Mr. McCoy or Mr. Smart, number 10.
Always in the past, the offering that the PCA has given for rural relief has gone to the National Association Relief Arm, which is World Relief Corporation. And they have been very generous toward our own Presbyterian missionaries and ministries. In fact, the bottom line shows that World Relief has given more money to our Presbyterian causes than we Presbyterians have given to their causes. They have been a very cooperative agency, and that is where we have sent our World Relief funds. However, every session has the prerogative to send its relief funds where it so chooses. But when they send them to us, we forward them to World Relief Corporation.
Are you satisfied? Thank
That's
you.
That's fine. Thank you.
Any other comments? Since these were questions of clarification, hearing no comment, it'll stand adopted. Dr. Buswell.
Number 9. That the presbyteries and churches be urged to challenge their gifted men to serve the cause of Christ in world evangelization, and particularly that the need to be published for ordained teaching elders to serve on Mission to the World church planting team.
You've heard it. Any discussion?
Mr. Moderator?
Dr. Buswell?
If we vote in approval of this, I'm going to ask that we pause and look to the Lord in prayer with this motion in mind that we might be the means of answering it.
Any question or discussion? So ordered, Dr. Buswell.
Yes. Is Bob Offerus present, please?
Robert Offerus?
I'd like to ask Bob Offerus as
Mike too,
the president of World Presbyterian Missions Board, to please lead us to the throne of grace and think of what we have voted. We have just urged ourselves to be challenged, that out of our midst might come forth the leadership for these tasks. Let's pray that it may be so.
Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that when we come to you in prayer, we have the confidence that you will hear us. You have made the way possible for us to come boldly into your presence through the blood of Jesus Christ. And our Father, we particularly know that when we come praying those things that are found in the Scriptures, that we can have assurance that you will give us those things we ask. You have told us to pray the Lord of the harvest that he will thrust forth laborers into his harvest field. And our Father, we come to you and we ask that you will do that very thing. We pray for all of us who are here seated and considering these matters that have to do with world evangelism. And our Father, we pray that you will work in our hearts. Let us be plagued with that question, why should we not go? And Father, we pray that many from even this assembly will put their lives into your hands for that kind of work, that you will call many to serve you on the foreign field, to take up the ministry of planting churches, of preaching the gospel, of giving out the good news of Christ. We pray that you will bless this effort that has been made by this commission and by the mission to the world. And grant, Lord, that we will see, even in our day, a great host of souls brought into the kingdom. We do ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Dr. Buswell, we'll interrupt for a privileged announcement.
The commission appointed to hear the case of Brad Fell et al. Against Gulf Coast Presbytery request the following people to come to room P30 in this building: Donald Graham and Henry Miller, the respondents for the Presbytery, Brad Sells, and any other signers of the complaint against Gulf Coast Presbytery, and Richard Adelman.
Dr. Buswell?
Will you join me in going back to your churches as I expect to go back to mine in Tampa? And ask God that in this coming year, at least one person might enter the service of the Lord from our church. Pray with me that this might be so. Number 10, that since the process of joining and receiving has taken place, the General Assembly gives prayerful support to its permanent committee as the details of integrating the two denominations are worked out.
You've heard it.
Number 7, Mr. Moderator, Henry Hope of Calvary Presbytery. As we pastors who were in the RPCES plan for our missions conferences and so on into 1983, with what agency do we work? That is, do we work with the Board of World Presbyterian Missions? Do we work with the Committee on Mission to the World? How do we line up itinerating missionaries? How do we secure material?
Microphone 10.
This is Kennedy Smart from Mission to the World. Initially, missionaries who have formerly served under World Presbyterian Mission will be itinerated out of the Wilmington office. Those who have served under Mission to the World will be itinerated out of the Atlanta office. Just as quickly as we can integrate the itineration process, we will. And when you call an office about that information and we've made the change, that change will be related on the phone. Literature will be available at Mission to the World office and in Wilmington also. So that's the way it's going to be for the first few months of this integration process.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Anything else? Mike 5. Microphone 5.
Max Harris, New River Presbytery. A similar question. What about funding? Churches that formerly were in the RPCS and fund
funded WPM missionaries. Do we continue to send those funds to Wilmington, or do we start sending those to Atlanta?
Microphone 10.
Initially, the funds will continue to go where they have been going. Funds that have gone for the support of World Presbyterian missionaries will continue to go to Wilmington. The donors will be notified in plenty of time when the time arrives that those donations should be sent to the Atlanta office.
Thank you. Anything else? These are informational questions. Hearing no discussion, it's adopted.
Number 11, that since the process of joining and receiving has taken place, a special welcome be extended by the General Assembly to the missionaries serving under World Presbyterian Missions Incorporated.
You've heard it. In a very real sense, that was done earlier today. It's adopted.
I think you have met Bob Offerth, whom I asked to pray. He has been the chairman of the World Presbyterian Missions Board. I'd like to ask Nelson Malkus, General Secretary, and Werner Meekling, Associate General Secretary, to stand so you're all aware of who they are. Here, where's Werner?
Mr. Malkus is over to my right, your left. Is Werner Meekling?
Way in the back. If you haven't met them, please do so and get acquainted and welcome them in.
Dr. Buswell.
Number 12, that the 1983 budget for Mission to the World, that's supposed to put on delayed.
Can you delay that?
Delayed. Number 12 is delayed. Number 13, that the 1983 budget,
same
and
thing.
That's delayed too. All right, those 12 and 13 are delayed. Number 14, that the matter of helping to rebuild the damaged Reformed churches in Zimbabwe, as referred to the Committee on Mission to the World by the 9th General Assembly, be answered by the establishment of a special fund in Mission to the World to receive and properly transmit any such funds received from the PCA constituency.
You've heard it. Any discussion? I may presume a little bit and ask if Dr. Buswell would help the former RPs know just a little of the background here.
I think I will call on one of the administrators.
Mr. Smart, microphone 10.
Kennedy Smart has the answers usually. This request came through the Orthodox Presbyterian Foreign Mission Committee last year, requesting that we respond to this appeal from Zimbabwe for help in the rebuilding of churches there. This is the response that we have set up.
Hearing no discussion, it's adopted.
Number 15, let the General Assembly employ one of the Big Eight accounting firms, beginning with the audit of 1982.
You've heard it? That phraseology among accountants is completely understood. If you're not an accountant, you probably don't know what it means, but there are eight very large accounting companies. Microphone 10.
Phil Clark, coordinator mission to the North America, I hope. I really must protest this in that the COA committee has very carefully looked into this and has refused it. And I think that all of us as committees ought to listen very carefully to the COA committee in areas of administration. This has not been passed through the other committees, and immediately our cost is going to be doubled without any consideration of that cost. And I would hesitate to have the Assembly vote that kind of a cost on top of what we're already doing or CE is already doing, because an invitation has come from one committee for this.
Mr. Moderator, the whole matter of audit was delayed on the COA report, and if you look on page 172 at item 12, the recommendation of the Commission on administration would be that the General Assembly reappoint the CPA firm of Kent, Nobles, and Martin to conduct the audit for the 1982 records. Now, that was for all the committees for the whole. This deals with just the Mission of the World Committee, and it's my understanding, I'm not, Mr. Click, that the whole matter should be decided now, would delay to this point, and so all that needs to be discussed and debated and decided, not just for this committee, but for the whole denomination. All committees.
What's the wisdom of the clerk whether it should be discussed in the midst of an MCW report or whether we should you have another COA coming back, or is there no opening for it if we don't do it now?
We were delayed to this point.
If we delayed to this point, then it should be...
I think it was delayed to this point. It does seem to me that one of the things you could do as an assembly is not to try to do committee work here on the floor of the assembly of this sort, but ask representatives of the two committees of commissioners, subcommittees from each of the two, to sit down and see if they can come up with a joint proposal that might meet both needs. In other words, a general audit, but with something special for Mission of the World. It seems to me that that may be the kind of compromise that could be worked out, but not to try to do committee work on the assembly floor.
At the moment, we have the recommendation with a speech against it. Is there a speech for it? Is there a speech for it? Then we'll turn to microphone 6, pardon me, microphone 10.
Mr. Moderator, I think I can settle this matter very quickly and say that if there is no enthusiasm in the General Assembly for this Mission to the World, though it would be a preference of ours to go this route, if the other committees are not enthusiastic for it, we do not want to push this matter. The time may come when our finances will be the size that will require that we go into this kind of accounting. But we do not want to create a problem for the other committees or for the assembly, and we don't want to increase the expenses either.
Dr. Buswell?
Mr. Moderator, I think that we might save some time. The two agencies involved that have talked on the floor, MNA and MTW, have talked together, and I think where we are right now is where we do not have enthusiasm expressed for this. I would say that if you feel along with that, vote it down, and we're not there yet, so you respond by voting it down, if that's the way that you feel. And I think that we are trying to do a lot of committee work on the floor in speaking against it.
Microphone 10.
May I ask us a point of information? Would it be a matter of great saving to have the one accountant do everything, or would it be not much more expensive to have the big accountant do the MTW work and the regular accountant, as we've used before, do the more simpler accounting of the agencies that work only in the United States? Do we know anything about the relative costs there?
Mr. Smart's right behind you.
I'll answer our moderator by saying that if Mission to the World went with a Big Eight and the other stayed with the present accounting firm, that we would have to have our books audited by both auditing firms, which would mean a double expense for Mission to the World and therefore would be impractical.